Hey y'all, this is Colby R. Rice, and I am back after, oh my gosh, like 4 or 5 days. It's been almost a week since I've been on here, with another entry to my creative journal, and it's actually going to be my last entry until January 2nd, because I'm taking this whole next week off pretty much from today up until then, just to hang out and, during the holidays, hang out with fam. There's a lot of family coming from out of town, which is really great. So that's pretty exciting because I haven't seen a lot of them in a long time. And so yeah, just kind of taking the rest of the year just to like reflect personally as opposed to like on the very global space of YouTube. And so before I left and sort of went MIA for a little bit, and I'm sorry if I'm a little scattered. I'm actually pretty tired, as you can imagine, been up packing and all this other stuff. I just wanted to give you guys like an update on my creative stuff, but also just I guess I want to start this off today by talking about the concept of haters. And I know that's not exactly the most popular, awesome, upbeat topic, especially like around the holidays, and we're trying to be all creative and everything, and give with our creativity. But I encountered a situation recently where I was just getting like, and this is not actually very common. This is just with this one particular individual that I had this interaction with. Just an inordinate amount of negativity and just like hate towards like me and my projects. And it's easy as a creator and as an individual to allow people to influence you in a negative way. But you really have to kind of, in this case, like keep the wax in your ears when people are trying to say and do things, both overtly and covertly, to knock you down a peg. And I'm just talking about this because I'm actually going to record today a podcast at the Bohemian Badass, which is the podcast is called the Be Badass Podcast. Look us up. I'll put a link down to the podcast below. Actually, I probably won't because I haven't put it on iTunes yet, but I'll put a link down to the ones that I've posted already. How about that? And I was going to do a podcast on hateration because it's a really important topic and concept to discuss, acknowledge, and to also just know how to deal with when you encounter it. My philosophy generally, both again as an individual and as a creative, is that people don't necessarily hate you, they just don't care that you exist. And that's not to be cynical. It's just we're individually like we are one person in a world of billions of people. And I know that number can be a little, I mean, we know it's a big number, but it can be a little misleading, or rather, the concept of billions itself can be not that big of a deal because we don't actually encounter every single person on this planet. Like, we just don't, we're just unable to, We don't have the ability to do that. But when you really think about what 7 point some odd billion people actually looks like, if you were to put like a small dot for each person that lives on the planet on like just endless sheets of paper, that would be like miles and miles and miles and miles long in terms of like, the number of dots on the pieces of paper and the numbers, a number of pieces of paper that you would need to represent accurately the sheer number of people who live on this planet. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, like, why am I talking about that? But my whole point is that you are just one of those billions and billions of dots, a very, very, very small part of a small but important part of like this planet that we call Earth and this thing that we call life. And so for the most part, it's not that people hate you or like are indifferent towards you because they're jerks. It's just because we just don't have the bandwidth to literally get every single person on this planet on our radar and to keep them on our radar and to like focus on them. So that I say all that to say that I generally, at least from my perspective, consider myself to be a relatively balanced person when I think about like haters, because generally I don't think that people pay me that much attention. It's like I don't want to make this sound bad, but like I'm just like not that important in the larger scheme of things, on a scale of like billions, I'm like literally one person. So I say all that to say like I don't want you guys to be paranoid about people silently trying to bring you down, silently being haters. It's not that I'm trying to make you paranoid, but I am trying to make you aware of the fact that in your circles, in your closest circles, usually you will have those individuals who either overtly try to bring you down once in a blue moon, or who just or do it covertly by like, just trying to undermine you in certain ways or spread rumors or just kind of depress your status in little kind of petty ways. And then you'll have the people in your circle who like literally just don't care or don't support what you do. There are different sort of gradations and permutations of like hateration. And you just have to, as a creator, to really learn how to let all that stuff bounce off of you. A lot of times, and I truly believe this, hateration is not personal. It's not a personal thing. You'll find that it is occasionally, but for the most part, when people come to hate or they come to troll you, that's really re more reflective of like how they feel about themselves and how your reflection or your image makes them feel about themselves. Especially if these are people who don't really know you. Now, if these are people who know you, who are actively trying to go out and bring you down, then I still think, yes, it is a reflection on them, but it also is incumbent upon you to make sure that you kind of call that person, like you get that person out of your circle. You don't have to completely delete them, like peace, deuces, sorry. However, I strongly and genuinely believe that you end up being the sum of the people who are around you. And if the people around you are not supportive of you as a creative or as a person, or are trying to bring you down or don't believe in your dreams, that is going to affect your image of yourself and your self-esteem. And it's going to affect the amount of hustle and the amount of effort and time and passion you bring to your own projects, because you're constantly doubting yourself and you're not distributing the energy in, you're not putting the energy you need to in the right places because it's being taken away from you. And so I think it's just very important to recognize and go with your gut and really understand whether or not someone's comments or actions are coming from a place of support and love, or if they're coming from a place of like jealousy or misunderstanding or just hateration. And your gut is, if you listen to your gut, it's pretty intuitive. It can let you know pretty much like that, whether or not someone is supportive of you and whether or not what they're saying is hitting home with you in a good way. If it rubs you the wrong way, then it's probably a comment or a sentiment that needs to be addressed. But for the most part, I think that because we're so sensitive as creators, and a lot of us are introverts, and again, a lot of our energy is unidirectional. I talked about this in my past journal, but a lot of our creative energy and personal energy is unidirectional. We put so much out into the world and we don't really get much back all the time. You have to be very, very careful and very vigilant about the kind of energy and the kind of people you let in your circle as a creative individual. Again, as creatives, we tend to pull as much as we can from our experiences, the people around us' experiences, and you don't want to be pulling out of the negative ether all the time. Unless that iteration is really helping to inform a character or helping you to write a scene, but even then, take that, with in small doses, because there are other ways that you can get at someone's dark side without having to live in the dark side yourself, So just be careful again about the kind of energy you keep around yourself. And if you can, keep it classy, I mean, some people do deserve to get dragged by the way that they act and the way that they treat people. But ultimately, you have to sort of be true to yourself and not allow people's hate or people's jealousy or their lack of support of you bring you down to a level that you're not proud of. Like, if you could tell somebody off and then you're still okay with who you are at the end of the day, then do you. I'm not saying don't, I'm not like, you know, trying to make you out to be Jesus Christ, that you have to treat everybody, you know, like a gem if they're treating you like crap. You know, your mileage will vary, but if how you're responding to an individual's personality or their hate, if how you're responding to that is bringing you down to a level that where you can't look in the mirror and respect and love yourself because you're turning into this person that you never thought you would be, then you really need to, again, renegotiate, one, the fact that they're in your circle and get them out, and also renegotiate, two, how you're responding to that individual's energy, because that's when the energy that they're giving you is turning you into what they want you to be, which is less than what you are. So again, it's just about being true to yourself. Again, if you're the person to fly off the handle or curse somebody out and you can still keep your integrity and keep it moving, keep hustling, keep treating other people with dignity and respect, then do you. I'm not telling you how to act, but I know that I've been in certain situations where normally I generally don't like conflict. I really don't. I'm willing to like go into it if I have to in order to get things done or to like see justice served. But I don't enjoy it. You know, I'm not like, you know, trigger happy, you know, just warmonger in my personal life. I really don't like that kind of stuff. But if, and sometimes I've been in situations where the way that I have been portraying myself and my attitude once in a blue moon has really made me not feel good about who the kind of person I was being. And that's, to me, unacceptable when I'm starting to negotiate or renegotiate, like, the way that I human through this planet. I call it just being a good human being. If I find myself, like, humaning inappropriately or, like, negatively or, you know, in a way that isn't representative of who I am, that's a problem for me. And so I'm not going to let anybody bring me to a level where I'm challenging my own values, my own morals, and my own integrity. So having said all of that, that is honestly how I suggest you guys handle haters. It's sort of how I've had to handle this particular individual. and it's not a perfect process, but it's an effective one. Also, planned ignoring is also very, very useful. So I suggest you guys engage in that as well, because if there's one thing that people don't like is to be ignored, because it makes them feel like they don't exist. And it actually is a win-win situation, because you ignore them and you're ultimately like snubbing their attitude or their hateration, but you're also like not doing anything outwardly negative that's like affecting your personality and how you show up in the world. And on top of it, like when you ignore something, it just bounces off of you. So it's like a triple threat. So planned ignoring is also really helpful. I'm still working on that. Anyways, so that's my little spiel on hateration. I'm going to put that into a podcast a little bit later. But for now, I just wanted to actually go through my creative achievements. I, you know, it's like I feel so kind of ridiculous and gas saying that, but it's not, I'm not doing this because I want to feel good about myself or like put out the fact that I think, you know, I don't think that I'm better than anybody, but I like to keep track of the things that I'm doing because I'm sort of like kind of ridiculously OCD about like organizing my day, because time is very important to me. Time and money are the two, like, I wouldn't say, I think time is an important resource. Money is an important resource, but they're like the two resources that are like irrevocably linked. And I will always, like, if I have to choose between like which one I'd rather give up, I will always give up money before I give up time. Because money you can always get back, but time you can never get back. We have like a limited amount of time. And so based out of that sort of philosophy on life, I try my best to not organize, but just keep track of what I'm doing during the day so that I know that I'm maximizing my productivity. And then it allows me to also like take planned vacations, which is going to start pretty much after this day is over. Okay. So, where did we leave off? I posted last on the 18th. So that means I was reporting on December 17th. So, okay. Since then I have actually dived headfirst into the alpha version of my Writer's Unblocked pre-writing edition course, which is basically, it started off in beta, which was a 15-day writing boot camp on Periscope, which basically helped writers, not only novelists, but also screenwriters, to break through their writer's block through a series of small, bite-sized writing exercises and lessons. So for that little series, because I was promoting another course at the time, and as a part of that course promotion, I offered this free 15-day Writers Unblocked boot camp. And for that boot camp, all my materials were in what I call beta form, which is like the material itself was like a little raw. The lesson plans were raw. They were planned out, but like, you know, they were like the core concepts. I hadn't refined the concepts and added the small details. The worksheets were just like plain black and white worksheets in Word. And I didn't have any PowerPoints. It was just me talking and then giving you guys like a screenshot guide of the worksheets and what your assignment was for that day. But now I'm working in the alpha version of that boot camp. And now what the alpha version includes is that I'm creating actual PowerPoints, which are so beautiful. And I'll probably show them to you actually at the end of this. PowerPoints, a more refined lesson plan. And they're not going to be any more than 5 to 10 minutes long because this is going to be a daily challenge. So I want people to be able to do this in small bite-sized chunks and just like take 10 to 20 minutes in their day and get the activity done and then move on. So more refined lesson plans, 5 to 10 minutes, PowerPoints. The worksheets have been upgraded. Not only has the material been expanded a little bit or more refined, but it's also been upgraded to a graphic design format. So I actually have like created I'm in the process of creating a really beautiful workbook with like colors and design, and like you'll see it. I'll give you like a sneak peek. But it's really nice. So, and then I also have started putting together the email template that will deliver this series to your inbox pretty much every single day, or rather it's going to be probably about every 2 days. I'm going to turn the 15-day boot camp into a 30-day boot camp because sometimes the activities need a little bit more time and you might want to, you know, just take a little more time with that before you get on to the next exercise. So that's what I've been working on. And this is the pre-writing edition. I also have a chapter writing edition that I'm working on, which is basically after you've done your pre-writing exercises through the pre-writing edition, you then start to actually write the first 2 chapters of your novel. Or if you're a screenwriter, the first, you know, I guess, act, pretty much the first act of your screenplay through that particular boot camp. And you know, if you guys are interested in really taking small bite-sized steps or baby steps towards breaking through writer's block, especially with this coming year and you want to get started on a brand new project, this is really a great series to check out. It's also absolutely 100% free. That's the other thing, is that I'm doing all this to help as many writers as possible and as many storytellers as possible. Excuse me, and it's 100% free. All you have to do is sign up to the mailing list. And I don't spam because I already have like so much on my plate. I don't really have time to send out emails except maybe once a week. So you guys won't be getting spam, but you will be getting both of those free boot camps. The first free boot camp if you sign up. And then if you want to continue to the next boot camp, you just sign up for that one and you'll get that one as well. So I've been working on that. Oh my God, I haven't updated. See, I've been doing this creative daily journal, or like, I guess every other daily journal, on YouTube, but I also have a weekly version. It's called The Weekly Hustle. And so basically, because I wonder if you guys can see this. Now you can see it, because I pretty much, track my days on my phone. I like to also kind of do a summary of what I've done across the week. I'm just insane with the organization. Just judge me all you want, but I am highly productive and highly efficient and effective. So I got behind on my weekly hustle naturally because I was in graduate school and I've been busy. So the weekly, I am working on another weekly hustle, but it's like a weekly hustle update of the past 8 weeks that I've missed, which is crazy. Basically from October 31st to December 26th, that's that big fat written blog post is coming out on the 26th. And then after this, after that post and after today's post, that's pretty much all you're going to hear from me until January 2nd. But you also, if you tune into my blog, which is www.colbyrrice.com/journey-blog, I'll put the link below. You'll see all of these posts popping up, but then you'll also see my year wrap up, my 2016 wrap up. And then on January 2nd, you'll see my goals for my creative goals for 2017. So that's all coming up. And that's really the reason also why I'm sort of disappearing for a week, because I have to, I mean, I will be relaxing and chilling and watching movies and eating and stuff in my face and hanging out with family. But I'm also going to be working on those three posts pretty much a little bit every day, so that they can come out on time and I can kick off the new year the way that Colby likes to kick it off, which is organized and on top of stuff. I have been killing it on the Iron Maiden, almost 1,000 words a day. Which is like a massive improvement over what I've been doing this year. And so I'm hoping to keep that up, and I'm actually hoping to keep up that momentum, and just build on it until I'm at anywhere between 1500 to 2000 words a day. And I also sort of realized that as much as I want to make steady progress on one project, which I will be doing, I want to write at least 500 words per day for one single project every single day, my 2,000 word a day goal doesn't necessarily have to include just one project. So for the books of Ezekiel, let's say all I can really write for that is 1,000 words a day. I could also work on another project and write 500 words for that project, and a third project and write 500 more words for that project. You know, I just want to hit 2,000 words in general. But that's like sort of like a, I would say like a first quarter goal. My current goal between now and the end of the first quarter is just to consistently show up every day and write 500 words a day on the same project. And then I'll grow from there. But books of Ezekiel have been hitting at least 850 words a day, if not more. So that's been going fantastically. What else is happening? Getting ready to take my vacation, lots of adulting, getting ready for the new year. I told you guys a few days to like a week or so ago that I created the horror novel writing and script writing templates based off of the screenwriting new class that I was taking for horror writing. So I've been updating those templates as, because I have, you know, once I created the templates, I obviously started using them because like, why, oh my God, like why not? It's an amazing resource. And then I realized, oh, there's certain things that I want to make improvements on. So I've been doing that. Working on, oh, this is exciting. My collaborator and I have just finished the script for our 5-minute slam poetry segment called Inkling, which is going to be amazing. And it's a 5-minute segment, as I mentioned to you guys before, that is going to be a part of a larger MLK Junior Day celebration here at the University of Arizona. And we basically read through a bunch of poems and sort of that have to do with MLK Junior and civil rights and freedom and justice, love, celebration. And we scoured these poems and we basically put together, using different excerpts from different poems, we put together a script that we felt really comprehensively encapsulated the history, the richness, the struggle, the triumphs of the Black community, of the civil rights movement, and of like Black people as a culture. And it's in sort of like its rough draft form, but it's like a really, really strong rough draft. So basically, we're just making sort of some small upgrades. We're doing some fine tuning and some cleaning up of the draft. But I am loving the script and I am just so excited. And our rehearsals are going to take place between January 9th and January 14th. And then the actual performance will be on the 15th. And we have our poets. And so that's so exciting. It's pretty much, I mean, I've dramaturged things before only because of this semester. But this is my first thing that I'll be like, I guess sort of my second thing that I'll be like directing and co-directing. So that's going to be really interesting. And I've never really directed before, and this is helpful because as you guys know, I'm planning a horror film shoot for this coming summer 2017. So, and it's going to be like a full-fledged feature. It's going to be something that I've written, that I'll be directing, and it's going to be essentially like a debut film. My debut, oh my God, I feel so weird saying that, as a action, sci-fi, and horror director. And so I really do want to work on my skills as a director, just pretty much dive headfirst into it, try to like blow past all my fears. And so my experiences this semester have really started to help me get a grasp on the idea and the art of directing. And I have so much more to learn and so much more to do. Excuse me, but this is a great start. And my collaborator is amazing. And I just feel like a lot of people really have a hard time co-directing. But honestly, when you put ego aside and you just sort of have a conversation and you listen to one another, it's possible. You can just totally make it happen. And obviously for me, it's easy to put ego aside because this is like one of my first or second projects. So, you know, it works out really well and I'm learning a lot and I'm excited to like really bring the thunder and the heat on this event because it's such an important day, not only for the Black community, but for us as a country in terms of like us being better human beings, basically. That's what the civil rights movement is about. So that's exciting. What else is happening? Yeah, I don't know if there was anything else going on. I've pretty much just been working on upgrading those templates, working on that Writers Unblocked course. And it takes, these things take a minute. So, you know, just plugging away day by day, really putting together this beautiful course. And I do feel comfortable calling it a beautiful course because I'm busting my ass on it and it looks really nice. And I'm also not a graphic designer, but the design like is just fucking hot. I mean, you know, sorry to be cursing, but I'm just, I am proud of that. And I am going to pat myself on the shoulder or on the back for that one. Launching, at least in a soft launch, the Bohemian Badass podcast, which is exciting. And I'll give you guys a quick tour of the podcast page at The Bohemian Badass in just a minute. But so that's pretty exciting. And I've also been doing a lot of cleanup, just general like maintenance, upgrading and cleanup of like my websites and social media. That's not really anything riveting, but it's something that I keep mentioning because if you're going to be an independent creative, whether you're an author, screenwriter, filmmaker, game designer, blogger, infopreneur, whatever you're doing, you need to really get into the tech. And I know it can be intimidating for some people. It was for me when I first started out. But honestly, like there are so many programs out there that make it very approachable and easy for people like us who are not necessarily like tech savvy immediately, but who can learn it quickly. And WordPress, Squarespace, all of those sites have the most amazing, easiest, most user-friendly interfaces you could ever have. And it makes you look like a graphic design genius because these pre-made templates are just like incredible. A lot of story development has been happening, especially for the books of Ezekiel and for the Hitmen of Happily Ever After. I really love world building and story development. World building especially, and research on folklore, on history. That's like my playground as a writer. It's just like exploring all of the beautiful magic that we have thought up as like a human race since we've been in existence, and like exploring basically like human history through folklore, our ideas of magic and the beyond and our relationship to the world, to the universe, and to nature. I just love it. I love reading fairy tales, folk tales. I love creating fairy tales and folk tales of my own. And so I guess, like, just me, like, frolicking in world building is really important. And I think that it's important for you guys too, especially if you're an urban fantasy or sci-fi writer, because a lot of times we get so stressed out about the writing quality and the plot and character development and all, like, the mechanical minutia that goes into really fantastic writing. But sometimes you have to just, like, slow down and just frolic and write a book of magic spells. I think that's important because it really reminds you, like, why you're in love with this kind of stuff. And at least for me, that's where I really, really enjoy, like, just playing. That's where my mind and my heart love to play. I guess, like, playing God, essentially, like, creating my own worlds, creating languages. I have created a language for the Books of Ezekiel series for one particular race of beings called the Mesha. And it's called Unla. And I'll introduce you guys to that more as I get into my projects. I told you guys I would introduce you to all my projects in some, like, significant way, but that probably will not happen until the new year. It's actually probably appropriate to do that for my first creative journal update for the new year. So look forward to that on the new year. But just creating languages, creating worlds, creating civilizations, magic systems, government, social artifacts like literature, media, music. I mean, I just love that. So I guess that's sort of like the sociologist in me. I also minored in anthropology, so I really just enjoy, like, building culture. So I've been doing a lot of that. And I think that's it, y'all. Up to today, yeah. That's been my hustle. That's just it. I'm just jamming, just doing the damn thing. All right, so you know what? Actually, what I'm going to do is, can I? Oh, you know what? I'm recording this on QuickTime, so I can't. But what I will do is that I'm going to save this part, and then I'm going to immediately do a screen recording introducing you guys to the Bohemian Badass podcast that I'm putting together. And I'll also introduce you guys to the Writers Unblocked course, okay? So stay tuned. How do you turn this thing off? Okay, stay tuned.